something more serious. Welcome.
Hello.
Hola.
Howdy.
I was showing Sean Richardson was somewhere down Kentucky, and he saw a cement truck with BBF on it.
Obviously.
If they had a .com there, it'd be a good advertising, huh? All right, if you got your praise book, we're going to start out in the praise book. Number 4, this is one that Jenny wrote.
Thank you.
Thank you for your patience.
Over all.
whole thing over is going to be messed up.
We'll do it again. Lord willing, and the church don't rise.
What?
Well, you know, just having her up here right now.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy to be playing. I really am.
The key to life is getting the right perspective.
All right, onliners. If you want to send a prayer request in, you can send that to bbfohio@protonmail.com. Inliners, if you're in the house, you can get a scripture card from Janie. Raise your hand. Janie will bring you one with a pencil. In case you missed that, that was a reminder to silence your cell phone ringer. And I think everything's good to go. So we'll get right into our current events update in just a moment. A reminder also, I think everybody here is either here Sunday or has seen the video, but if you're online or if you just want to see it again, we put it right on the front page of the website, bbfohio.com. And I'll take just a minute to remind you of that website. It's just bbfohio.com. And there we go. And up here at the top, you see up there at the top, you have the pastor's blog. And you go there and we've got all kinds of blog posts. And most of them, and as we go on, we'll end up eventually, Lord willing, and Frank don't rise. We'll have this for you, where you can listen to Frank and Tino. Actually,
Red Frank. Letter Laodicean Christians. How often have you heard someone defend their particular view on a matter by stepping away from a legitimate, reasonable discussion and declaring, quote, I will cling to every...
Okay, so I'll just want you to hear that. He's, the guy's a pro.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
He takes his work seriously.
After we give him some practice, we're going to have him give Alexander Scorby a run for his money.
I think that would be a good idea.
Yeah, he's kind of busy, but once he gets a little time, I think. But I just want to show you that. We'll show you things from here and there, just so you know what. All this is on the website. We have different pages, different resource pages, a link to bbfohioradio.com, a link to our sermon audio page. But all you have to do is go to that website and then you go to the home page here. And when you scroll down, there's...
Yeah,
we're time traveling.
He's kind of busy, but...
We're going back in time.
I just want to show you that. We'll show you.
I'll pause that so it doesn't freak you out. But we have a link to our proverb devotionals, and you can sign up. And every morning we give a 5-minute devotional Monday through Friday. We've got hundreds of people listening to that. You go on down a little ways, get information for listening to the live stream by phone if your Wi-Fi's out or you're traveling. This is a little evangelistic tool that if you have any unsaved friends or loved ones, get the link or have them go here and watch this video, the most important thing. And thousands of people watch that already. And then our baptismal Sunday, the video is right there. All you got to do is bbfohio.com and scroll down, and you can watch the baptismal video, which includes snapshots. We have professional photography done by Jill Albaugh and Dan Coleman and Jenny Miller. And I think that's all of it. So anyway, there's all your, and then you scroll on down for directions if someone you know wants to come to the Bible study. Here are the most recent Bible studies, which include the Proverb devotionals. And if you want to go back in time there, you just scroll down like that and go back and get any of the messages you want. There's video and audio, or you can download it. And then we have our new versions or Vatican versions and other messages on the King James issue. We have our social media connections. And on it goes, just all the way down to the bottom. If you want to donate by internet, you can do that there. But this is about, this is the last thing I want to show you. All the studies through the entire books of the Bible are linked down at the bottom. Just go to the bottom. You can click and listen to, I think it was 50 hours of study just in Genesis. And we just finished Exodus, and I think it was around, how many was it? I think it was close to 40 hours. And then Psalms, we got some of those. Isaiah, we're just starting in Sunday school. And all of Daniel, all of Hosea and Joel. And that's just the Old Testament. Then you go to the New Testament. We have the entire Gospel of Mark. We're up to chapter 13 in Luke. All of Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, James. And we're in chapter 5. And the entire book of Revelation. And then all these other topical studies and everything. And all you do when you click on it, it takes you to the sermon audio page where all the messages are found free of charge. Watch it, listen to it, or download it. And if there's more than, I think, 20-some, you'll see at the bottom, you go to the next page and just keep going. So we've had some people ask us several times this year already about that, and I just wanted to give a little tutorial there for those of you who want to know. So with that, we'll get into our current events update. Hold your question and comments to the end if you can. Current events update. Headline reviews in the news. Number one, a little good news. Temporary injunction that could bring permanent relief in New York. A federal judge today, or that, maybe it's yesterday evening, I think. Federal judge grants injunction against the New York COVID-19 vaccine mandate for healthcare workers. Yeah. Now, that's good news. And also, if you didn't see it, if you weren't here, whatever, go back and watch our current events update Sunday, because we also shared with everybody the fact that there is no actual mandate. The federal government hasn't actually put it in. What they're doing is just basically deceiving everybody like they always do. That's why a lot of people are calling this the COVID-1984.
Yes, that's right.
Because a lot of what's happening is nothing but deception. And I showed Jenny a video, and it's a little too fast-paced, or I'd show it here. Couldn't hardly keep up with it. But somebody showed from the time that they first announced the vaccine to now, they originally were telling everybody it would be 100% efficacious, 100% effective. And then week after week, it shows it's going down, 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 down to the point where now they don't even really think it's efficacious at all. And these are the propaganda news sources telling you this stuff. So we're trying to, if nothing else, hopefully everyone learns that you can't get the news on the news.
Yeah.
So stay tuned, because this is still going on with private companies. Boeing will require all employees to be vaccinated despite wary labor unions and conservative opposition. And it's one of the largest employers in the country.
Wow.
Where will this end remains, I said that wrong, where this will end remains to be seen. But here's number two. Meanwhile, the fake lying news media continues its battle against the truth. This was the headline. GOP lawmakers and Trump praised a Southwest Airlines anti-vaccine mandate walkout, which authorities say never happened. See, the Southwest said all of the pilots had to be vaccinated, and a bunch of them stay home. Blue flu is what they call it when the cops do that. I don't know what they call it when the air pilots. But so the news media immediately went into propaganda overkill, telling everybody that it was actually not anything to do with the vaccine mandate. It's just propaganda. That's all it is. COVID-1984. Southwest claims that technical air traffic control issues caused many flight cancellations. Problem with that. Somehow, all other airlines were not affected by air traffic control issues. You canceled a couple of thousand flights, and it didn't affect any other airline. Huh?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's amazing. Southwest also claimed that weather was as a main reason for flight cancellation. Somehow, the weather didn't cause any other airlines to cancel flights in the same cities where they canceled. And what it is, folks, is they really have become convinced that Americans are that stupid. And thankfully, I don't think all Americans are, but if Joe Biden didn't steal the election, we know that most Americans are stupid. Most voters are stupid, I'll put it that way. But they made that little sign there. But this is just amazing because it goes hand in hand with the fact that Satan is a deceiver. We're in the last days. We're right on the precipice of the rapture and the initiation of the mark of the beast. And so we would expect that we're going to see deception. But it's so thick now. It's just amazing.
It is.
I just didn't know it'd get this thick before the rapture. And it's thick. But in the meantime, we are going to continue to report and you decide. Now, I put that at the end of the baptismal video, but some people don't read the credits because it didn't.
Oh, that's what that was.
All right. Anybody want to make a comment or ask a question before you move on? Mark?
I know this may not have much to say about the. I was going to see if we were going to talk about the Gruden sudden resignation after the.
Well, you know.
The National Felon League.
Yeah. I mean, if he said, I haven't seen where they actually said what he said. They described what he said, but they didn't give any quotes.
Right.
And it was private email. And the thing is, you just know they're a bunch of hypocrites.
Right.
You just know that some of the very same people that are coming after Gruden, if we got their email, what would it say? So, yeah, it's the NFL going woke is going to just ruin that sport completely. Eventually, it's not going to, there's not going to be any reason to watch. But they're doing the same thing to all the other sports. Watching college football, and it's not as bad, but it's coming.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's Gruden, right?
Gruden.
I know his years at Tampa Bay and where was he before Tampa Bay?
Oakland, I think.
I thought he ended at Oakland.
Yeah, he was with the Raiders before.
Oh, he was, okay.
And then he stepped out and went to Tampa and took him to the Super Bowl.
So they axed another one. Everybody who knows him says he's a great guy and they love him as a coach, and that's from what I saw. Well, because of this, I don't even know if he'll be able to, because he was a play-by-play or a commentator for when ESPN or one of them. With this on his back, I don't know if he'll be able to do that. They don't just do it. I don't know his politics or anything, but they don't just do it to conservatives either. They just love to destroy people. And because they're of their father, the devil has come to kill and steal and destroy. All right, well, let's get into our Bible study with a word of prayer. We're going into the final chapter of James, chapter 5. And so we'll jump right in here. with the open the word of prayer. Ask Brother Johnny, if you don't have your mouth full back there. Open the Bible, say prayer if you would.
Yeah. Dear Lord, just we thank you that you continue to preserve the country up until this point, and you pray you'll continue to do so, and continue to raise up righteous people who will resist all this evil. And Lord, we pray that you'll just bless the sermon tonight as we work from your word, and so we can grow and be more prepared for what's to come. We pray also bless the fellowship tonight. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen. All right, we're going to read the first three verses of James chapter 5, titled Ye Rich Men. And don't think we have any of those here tonight. Ye rich men, James 5, 1 to 3. I'm just going to have you read all three verses with me as we get into study. Go ahead and read beginning of verse 1. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Amen? It's going to, as normal, as usual, these verses are still laying the groundwork for more to be said. But God is warning the elite, is how we would refer to these, referred to as ye rich men. The elite is how they're referred to in our culture. Verse 1 says, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. But, I mean, that's a, obviously, God-inspired call to the rich. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. But if they knew what was coming, would it really matter? I don't think so for mass majority. No. I want to start right off. We're going to read a few verses. I'm going to go have a few of you read for us. I don't know why I'm starting way down there, so let me go ahead and open this thing up, and we'll just name them off. Olivia, would you read Proverbs 23, 4 and 5? And Charlie, read Ecclesiastes 5, 10 through 15. And Jim, who brought his extra special personal Bible with him tonight, Micah 6, 10 to 13. And Kim, James 2, 6 to 7. Johnny, Revelation 3, 16 through 18. And Stephen, Revelation 18, 15 through 18. And Jessica, if you could go to Revelation 18 and read 19 through 21. It's the seventh one, the last one for you.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. So, Olivia, if you're there, go ahead and read Proverbs 23, 4 and 5. Read it like you're yelling at Charlie.
Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven.
So the thing of being about the thing about being rich, if I can say it right, you set your goals to be rich, and even if you get it, riches are fleeting. And when we say rich, of course, to be elite, you're in the millions these days. Tens of millions, really. There are a lot of millionaires, but you know, a lot of these millionaires are millionaires on paper. And so that's why, like in 2008, when we had that real estate bubble burst, there were a lot of people lost everything. And then there were a lot of them committed suicide and all kinds of crazy things. So that's the one thing about being among the rich is that just goes. And well, of course, you can't take it with you when you die. Charlie, read Ecclesiastes 5:10-15.
He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. When goods increase, there increase beneath them. And what good is there for the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail, and he begetteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. As he came forth from his mother's womb, naked shall he go, shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand.
You come into the world naked, and you leave naked. And how many times have you read, I've read stories, and I've seen movies, and heard stories as well. You have these ultra wealthy people, and then they have their kids who don't have to work. And so what they do is usually get involved in things that are of no real use to anybody. They don't acquire any real experience or skills. And then when dad dies, they get the money. They don't know how to handle it. And a lot of them end up losing their minds of the stress of trying to handle all that money, because when they were kids, they were sheltered and pampered and everything. So that's what you're dealing with there in Micah 6:10-13, Jim.
Are there yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked, and a scant measure that is abominable? Shall I count them pure with the wicked balances, and with the bag of deceitful weights? For the rich men thereof are full of lies, and the inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. Therefore also will I make thee sick and smiting thee, and making thee desolate because of thy sins.
Now, again, as you read through history, you go back and read about the Gilded Age and, you know, the Vanderbilts and Carnegies and all them. And a lot of their wealth was made literally on the blood and death of other men. And they just would chew people up and grind them like hamburger. And there was very little workers' protections or anything. There was no workers' compensation insurance. There was no real workers' rights and everything. And they even did it to children. And we're going to read more about that as we continue next week, next study, if Lord willing, and the church don't rise. But, you know, it's a very eye-opening thing to go read history. And of course, on pretty much anything, but reading about the people who became wealthy and how they got there, and how that it usually involved crooked schemes, paying off politicians, bribery, and abusing people. And that's just behind most of them. So, where are we at? Kim, you read what we studied a few weeks ago in James 2, 6, and 7.
But ye have despised the poor. Do not the rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called?
Amen. I mean, how many of these ultra-wealthy people today, a lot of them are behind the abuse of the January 6th so-called prisoners that are being held without due process and treated like foreign. They're treating these guys that all they, most of them did was walk inside whenever they were invited by the police to do so.
Yeah.
There's very few of them did anything destructive. None of them that I know of injured anybody. And yet they're treating American citizens just because they are not liberals and progressives and Antifa and BLM and all that. They are treating them worse than they treat Muslim terrorist caught on the battlefield. It's just amazing. Why are they doing that? Because they're globalists. They hate America and they hate Americans. And they love what's coming. They love the Antichrist, the New World Order.
Yes, they love the spirit of Antichrist.
Yeah. So, Johnny, read, speaking of, we're getting into Revelation there, chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. This represents the professing churches that will be here after the rapture. But it also is in general. Just notice what they say about these Christians by profession in the Laodicean church. Go ahead, Johnny.
So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich.
What? Read that again.
Because thou sayest, I am rich,
mm.
and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked.
Amen.
I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salt, that thou mayest see.
Yeah. And it's amazing to me through the years I've heard preachers describe that Laodicean church and say that that's a backslidden church and it's going up in the rapture and all that. No one is ever, as a child of God, as a Christian, you're not naked. You may not be right with God right now, but you're not naked. You're still clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And so this church in Laodicea, no matter what your teachers tell you, read what it says and go by what it says. It says they're a bunch of blind. We sing, I once was blind, but now I see. These people in Laodicea are blind, naked. And I go back to what he first read there. They say they're rich. And you look at these mega churches and these ministries that are accommodating the whole LGBT thing and never speaking out on stuff you hear here in current events and all that. Never speaking out on what's going on in the world. Just want to get along with everybody and everything. And I don't have a problem. I tell you, I've said this before. You won't hear me name a lot of names when it comes to preachers that I just disagree with. But I will name names when I think they're hirelings that are I'll just say this, fakes. And if you don't know this already, I'm going to make sure you know it tonight. Andy Stanley is a fake. That guy is as Laodicean, lukewarm, and disgusting as any preacher on TV today. And if you don't know that, you just have to take my word for it until you go out and do your research.
Who is he?
Charles Stanley's son, Andy Stanley. And I hear a lot of Bible-believing Christians referring to him from time to time anyway. And like, I don't say anybody watching him, I think you ought to take some stock in your discernment meter if you're watching Andy Stanley and you don't think there's something wrong. I mean, that's beside this, the fact that he says that expository teaching is cheating. And he uses like the worst Bibles on the market. But even beyond that, he is so going into this woke stuff. I showed Jenny just so she'd be a little aware of it. He had the Black Lives Matter thing going on his stage, and he was up there basically. He was talking about white people and how, you know, white people are all a bunch of racists, and we just don't know we are, and all that kind of thing. Yeah, and listen, I'm a racist, and so are you. And I don't care who you are, if you deny being a racist, you're a liar. I will guarantee you there are people that just as soon as you look at them, you think something. Based on the color of their skin or the way their eyes look or how they sound when they talk or you name it, all these lists of things. You know, these poverty pimps out there, they're all a bunch of racists. And see, that's the thing is that pretending, they're a bunch of hypocrites and they project. When they call you a racist, you better guarantee they're a racist. All these guys going after Grogan or Gruden. Gruden. I'll never get his right. It's like our guy running for Congress is Casey or Kerry? Which are Kerry? And I never can get it right. But anyway, let's go on to the next one, Stephen. You're reading Revelation 18, verses 15 through 18. Now, how did these guys get rich? How many of you remember Revelation 17, 18 studies?
That was a while ago.
Basically, I know one of it was making merchandise of people. It was a part of it.
But these rich men, now that's in verse 13. Yeah, we didn't jump back a couple of verses before Stephen started. It talks about all the things they were involved with. It's the markets. But included with that are slaves and souls of men.
Yep.
And these elites are all involved in the sex slave trade. And they are all involved in the sale of butchered baby body parts and organs. And it says the souls of men because they are also involved in the major religions. And they don't care about your soul and you going to heaven. They care about using you like cattle. And that's what they're doing. And this is all tied in with the Vatican. And it's all tied in with what we call the Vatican billions is how it's been called in. It's probably Vatican trillions now. But Jessica, go ahead and read verses 19 through 21.
And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich."
That word again.
Wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea, arisen of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone, like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, "Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all."
Now notice there, first of all, verse 19, there's that word again, they were made rich. And then look in verse 20. If you don't believe that this is tied in with the Vatican, then you can't really believe it means anything. Why? Because it says right there, "Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her." Now, the spirit of Babylon is what this is about. Mystery Babylon. So we always have to be careful and tell you this. This isn't just, this isn't Roman Catholicism and all Catholics. This is specifically the Vatican and those tied in with the Vatican on these things. And that includes a lot of other denominations and religions. Eventually, they're all going to be in bed together and under the final pope. Now, this isn't, I just have to say this, because it's not like anti-Catholic. I've been accused of being anti-Catholic. You can hear this same truth from Catholics. And there was a guy named Malachi Martin who was a Catholic who, based on the revelation that we're reading here, said the Roman Catholic Church is heading toward a day when the final pope will be the beast. That's not about all Catholics. That's like when you say the Antichrist is going to have Jewish DNA. He's going to be a pope in the Roman Catholic Church, but he's going to have Jewish DNA. That's not anti-Semitism. I didn't say all Jews are Antichrist, but the final pope will be Jewish, and he will be the Antichrist. Judas Iscariot was a Jew who betrayed Jesus. Guess what? Jesus was a Jew. The Jews were on both sides of this, good and bad. So we're not saying all Jews are bad when we point out that there are bad Jews. And there's going to be a final pope who's going to be the beast. And there's a website you can go and Rumble right now. It's called LifeSite News. Committed Roman Catholics. But watch their videos. And you'll see a lot of what I'm talking about right now. And so all these guys, Nancy Pelosi, where was she this week? Went to the Vatican. They all do. Every one of them. Even Donald Trump does it. They all do. Why? Because that's the big secret that no one wants to talk about is that is the seat right there in Rome. That's where the power rests. Why did communism fall? Because the Pope John Paul and Ronald Reagan worked together to bring down communism. And a lot of these these prophecy teachers don't want to talk about this stuff because they're afraid that Roman Catholics won't watch the program anymore. That's exactly true. You know, Jack Van Impe admitted that, by the way, right before he died. He confessed and asked for forgiveness, basically, for not telling the truth because he didn't want to offend his Roman Catholic viewers. Listen, I don't want to offend anybody, but whether you're a Roman Catholic or a Baptist or a heathen, you should want to know the truth. Yes. And the truth is right there. Just read it. And so you can trace the blood of those in heaven, the apostles and prophets, whether you're talking about the ones Jezebel had killed, or you're talking about the ones killed under Babylon, or those killed under the persecutions of other empires, Assyria and all that, they all tie into the spirit of Babylon. Started under Nimrod and came through and through literal Babylon, the Chaldeans. And when Babylon fell and it went, I believe, through, remained in the Persian and Medo-Persian and all that. But then that fell, it went to Pergamos. In our study of the Church of Pergamos, we talk about that. If you go look it up right now, where is the seat of Satan? And you'll find that until the Caesars, the seat of Satan was known to be in Pergamos. Why? Because that Babylonian priesthood went from Nimrod into Babylon, and when Babylon was overthrown, it went to Pergamos. And the priesthood stayed there until Caesar basically became a convert to those magical arts. And he took on the title. What's the title?
Pontifex Maximus.
That started under Nimrod, through Babylon, to Pergamos, under the Caesars, and from Constantine to the popes. And the final pope will be the head of this thing that we just read about. So that's why it says, how for your miseries that shall come upon you. What miseries? We just read about it. I mean, they'll each have individual miseries come on them. They end up in hell, like I believe David Rockefeller, who just died recently. I believe he split hell wide open. There's no evidence he ever got saved. But the rich on earth, those elites, eventually they're going to be howling and wailing at the destruction of Babylon. So we go back to our reading there. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten, back in James 5. And it lists some of the same things you read in Revelation 18. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh, as it were, fire. So How many of you watch TV and you see what Bill Gates and George Soros and these guys are doing, and it just makes you angry? Well, go to James 5 and Revelation 18 and meditate. Because this little short little time where they're getting by with this stuff ain't nothing compared to the eternal damnation they face.
Yeah.
You almost pity them. Their riches are worse than dirt in the eyes of God. And by the way, in heaven, their riches of gold will be pavement. I love it. First time one of my teachers pointed this out to me, I just loved it. When he said he brought two big chunks of pavement in from the driveway, like ours out here, falling apart. And he brought two big chunks of pavement. And he's like, I'm rich. And he just put on a big show. We're like, what is he talking about? You know? And he was acting so happy. And his wife came in. And she's like, what, honey? What's going on? We're rich. And we're like, he lost his mind. And then he stopped and said, that's what it would be like in heaven if you walk in with bricks of gold.
Yep.
In heaven, it's just pavement. I should have brought in a couple of chunks and put that show on for you. That would have been funny. But the Bible indicates very little hope for most of the elites. If you have a chance to give Bill Gates' gospel tract witness to him, do it.
Amen.
Just wouldn't expect much.
You know, Jesus there in what you went over, Revelation 4:18.
3.
I'm sorry, 3:18. Mm-hmm. He counseled. He gave them the right.
Yeah.
He told them.
Yeah.
He knew who they were, but he still told them about it.
God knows men, and the rich can be the worst. Jesus says so. Let's look at it. Matthew 19. Jesus says something about the rich that he doesn't say about anybody else. In Matthew 19, verses 23 through 26. Matthew 19:23 says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples." Well, I want you to read that with me, so I'll give you a second to get there. Revelation 19:23. Don't panic. Okay. I'll give you a second to get there. I'm paid to the hour, folks. We could do this all night. Matthew 19:23, you there? Read that with me. "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of God." And wait a minute, before you read on. Is there anything off the top of my head? I just can't think of Jesus saying that about anybody else. Go ahead, read verse 24. "And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." Now stop there. It is not a cave in Jerusalem where camels get on their knees and crawl.
Amen.
It's literally going through the eye of a needle.
Right.
And try to put a camel through one of those. So it's hyperbole, but Jesus is painting a picture. It's very difficult. Very, very, very difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Look at verse 25, he says, "When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved?" Now, if you're a Buckeye, you'll understand this is where we get our state motto, which is totally out of context. But let's read verse 26 together. "But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." So, it's possible. It's not impossible. But not likely that a rich man will enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, 1 Timothy 6:9, Paul said this, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." There's all kinds of really good guys I like that I've read their history about. And it's not like they just fell maybe once or twice, and you know, because men are men. We're talking, I was telling Jenny about Bob Hope, And, you know, they said he had innumerable, constant adulterous affairs throughout his life. And no evidence the man ever got saved. Now, how many, if you don't like Bob Hope tonight, leave. Everybody loves Bob Hope. Oh, Kim, I was kidding. No, but seriously, I mean, Bob Hope, and you're like, oh, that's so, such a shame. How many of you know people that, you know, Elvis? I mean, if you don't like Elvis, there's something wrong. Yeah, I'm just kidding. There's some people that don't like Elvis. But, you know, I don't care whether you like him or not. I really do think you have a bad judge of talent if you don't think the man had incredible talent. And sold more records than anybody up to his time, and took 20 years later, 10, 15 years later, before I think Michael Jackson finally broke his record, which tells you we're in the end times. But anyway, yeah, Johnny?
Wasn't Don Knotts another one?
Well, Don Knotts didn't have the track record Bob did with the women.
Okay.
He was... There were some people talk about him smoking pot, but in his defense, he had a stomach ailment. And people who knew him said he never got high. He just took it medicinally before it was medicinally legal. So, but a great guy who never got saved, as far as we know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I had to throw that in there because, you know, don't be picking on Barney. Yeah. Mark?
Yeah, when we had Johnny Cash and Bob Hope or something like that. And the other side of the joke was, now that we got Obama and Biden, we got no Cash and no Hope.
Yeah. Now Johnny Cash, I believe, is in heaven.
Yeah.
Well, George Jones, who lived a bad life and had a lot of sin in his life, but the last 10 years of his life, he got saved. And so that's the thing with these rich people, these elites, you know. God will save them. It's not that he won't, but the rich fall into temptation and the snare. I mean, it's just that's why I say all the time, I believe I would do a lot of good with a few million dollars if the Lord would give it to me, but evidently he knows better. So there have been wealthy Christians, but even they have to fight against pride and arrogance. A lot of these wealthy Christians are, I believe, saved, and they've done a lot of good, but they also, you find out, they very control freaks, or just kind of get, it goes to their head a little bit, they want to be treated like royalty in the church, and that sort of thing. So even then, again, in 1 Timothy 6:17, charge them that are rich in this world. See, Paul's saying there are Christians who are rich. He says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. He doesn't say, give it all away. You can't be rich as a Christian. Nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. A rich Christian should be using that money as best he can to help a lot of people. But the wealth that a person has gives them the ability to get credit and to continue in business. So you have to have some wealth put back or you can't do business. There's the question. So why do so few elite turn to Jesus Christ? Here's my answer. I believe most of them are reprobate. I'm not going to sit here and say I know for a fact who is or whatever. I'm not saying Bill Gates. Bob's his poor brother. I think he never made money. But Bill Gates or George Soros I don't know for sure any of them are. But I suspect they are. No, most of them.
No, you can't judge them by their fruit.
Well, you can't, but that's different from reprobation. I mean, reprobation is, I don't care which one of those guys, if I ever got in their presence, I would try. I would try to preach the gospel and give them a gospel tract. Mary?
Can you define that for me, please?
Well, reprobate is described in Romans chapter 1, and it's God handing a person over to what they call a reprobate mind, what is called a reprobate mind. And reprobate means that you're basically given over and beyond the pale. Proverbs, well, I think I got that in one of our texts. We'll actually look at one of the texts in just a second. But God calls. The elite ignore Him. That's the bottom line. God calls, but the elite ignore Him. Let's look in answer to Mary's question there. Proverbs chapter 1, we've read on a couple of occasions before. And if you read through the Proverbs, you've seen this. But Proverbs chapter 1, beginning verse 22, he says, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Here's where God calls. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. But then, as I said, the elite ignore him. Verse 24, because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set it not on my counsel, and would none of my reproof. Now look at God's response, beginning verse 26. Read that with me. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof, and so forth. That's going to be in this life. They're not dead yet. And God won't hear them. Now again, you and I don't know who those people are, so we just treat them the same. But God says that there are some people who have gone so far, they're reprobate, and He won't hear them even when they do call Him. And of course, that's everybody in hell. There's just something about sinful man when he becomes rich. Arrogance, pride. They just think they're too... I've been selectively listening to some things. You know, Norm MacDonald, the comedian, died, and he did talk about God and things, and I never heard him really give a profession of faith in the gospel, so I don't hold out a lot of hope. But I listened to a couple of conversations he had. You've got to be very careful. Some of his stuff gets real, you know, and I just turn it off when it gets real bad. But... one of the things I listened to was Dennis Miller, the comedian, and unbeliever, and he can be really bad to listen to too. But he was on one of these podcasts. He calls up Norm MacDonald. He says, "Hey, Norm, wanted to talk to you. We wanted to have you." It was Dennis Miller's show, and he said, "I want to talk to you because somebody said you've been born again. Is that true? You've been born again?" And Norm MacDonald's like, oh, no. He didn't want to talk about it. Why? Because, man, that's a death certificate if you're an entertainer. And you claim to be born again. You will then become the butt of all the jokes for the next who knows how long. And it's just a shame. Do you want to ask something, Jesse?
Yeah. It's, what do you say about there's just something about sinful men when he becomes rich. But the previous church I went to, I liked what he said. He said that it's the will. You will to be rich. It's where your heart is. Like you can, because there are some rich, men and pastors.
Yeah.
But it's where their heart is. Riches own them, or do they use their riches for the glory of God?
Yeah, but like Paul said, that generally speaking, the problem with riches, men is and women, is they fall into temptation, they fall into snares.
Yeah.
Yeah. Think about Luke 16 and the rich man's family. We don't have time to read through all that, but it's in Luke 16, 19-31. I'm just going to look at one particular. Couple of verses there. We'll come into this in a few weeks on our Sunday studies in Luke. But in Luke 16, if you remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and the rich man lift up his eyes in torment, and he's in hell. And it's not a pleasant story, but it's a true story. It's not a parable. Verse 19 begins by saying there was a certain rich man, and it talks about how he lived in his wealth, and then Lazarus laid at his gate full of sores, verse 20. And then the rich man, or the beggar, dies in verse 22, and the angels carry Lazarus to Abraham's bosom. It says the rich man also died and was buried, in verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. And as the story goes on, we come down to verse 27. The rich man says, I pray therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him, the beggar, to my father's house. Verse 28, for I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Now here's what it looks like to be reprobate. Abraham saith in him, verse 29, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear him. And the rich man said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And verse 31, and he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded that one rose from the dead. Think about being so far gone. You won't hear Moses and the prophets, and even if someone rose from the dead. So that's kind of a picture of reprobation. God called, they would not answer. That's going to be on the great white throne. Every one of these elites are going to stand before Jesus Christ. It'll be revealed. God called, and they would not answer. I don't know about you, but I would not trade Jesus for all the wealth in this world.
Amen. Amen.
I'd rather be poor. So let's close by looking at Jeremiah 9 real quick. In Jeremiah 9, it's where our reading picks up tomorrow in our calendar. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. This is just a nice way to end this study. If you can, I'm going to have you stand, and we'll read this together, if you can. Jeremiah 9, verses 23 and 24. Give everybody a second to get there. All right. If you're there, read it with me. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Can you all say amen to that?
Amen.
All right, so let's sing a closing song. Words are on the screen. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, get your prayer requests in as we say goodbye to the onliners on three. One, two, three. See you here, there, or in the air. Good night, everyone.